Kaya FM 95.9. Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
It's a very good evening to you. It's just gone literally a minute after 7 o'clock. You are listening to Kaya FM 95.9. This is the home of the Afropolitan, and you're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Sail. Normally, it would be with the good doctor herself, but she's still feeling a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to be standing in for her today. My name is Sotume, and I'm with you for the next hour. I am so excited and nervous and all of those things at the same time, and I'll tell you why I'm feeling very nervous, because today we are doing a profile interview. But we're doing a profile interview of not just anyone, we're doing a profile interview of Andile Khayelisiwe. And I'll tell you, part of the big reason that makes me nervous about Andile as well, you know, I did say to Google earlier that there's some people that will just make me nervous. Brenda Fassie would have made me nervous. Lebo Mathosa would have made me nervous. Mewini Madikizela Mandela would have made me. There's so many women that would have just made me seriously nervous. But I think part of the big nerves as well with Andile is because she is a friend's cousin sister, which makes it, I think it compounds the greatness and all that. So, yes, she is, you know, I don't know if I should mention her name on air, but I should. Oh, okay. She's Kosi's cousin. Yes, yes. And for the longest time, you know, Kosi had this famous cousin. She had a famous cousin. And, you know, I always looked forward to stories, tidbits about, you know, this cousin, and she had this cousin that was on TV. And if you wanted to know about somebody famous, because I didn't know anyone famous, it was, it was via her. So I'm thrilled. I am nervous. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited to have you here. Angela, good evening. How are you?
Wait, so you are the Sutu.
Hi, what does that mean?
Multi-course.
Yes. Yes, you know, like Chris's cousin, God, who is like, you know, the fame and the what. Abuti, you, I mean, I remember when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
And you came out with Abuti Yo, and you had the short blonde hair.
Yeah.
And I think there was the video with the dungarees, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could be, yeah, there was the video with the dungarees.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it was at a time when blonde hair was probably not as, it wasn't something that you saw regularly with black women walking around with blonde hair. And I think that was the big, the draw card, the enigma. This person had like, she had the guts to go.
I had braids, first of all.
Before that.
Yeah. And the record company said to me, Okaz, Boom Shaka has braids. Lebo and Tembi, do something different.
Yeah. And you thought blonde at that time. I mean, now, thinking blonde is, you know, it's just blonde. But at that time, back then, you thought...
No, I was very... With my hair, I was very adventurous. And I used to color it myself, too.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to a hair salon or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just got my hair cut. I think it must have been my dad or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then colored it blonde, and I liked how it looked.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's go.
And how did you decide on blonde? Was it like, you know, like a caucus with like sisters and friends, and you're like, can we do red? Can we do purple?
Nah. I shook everybody. Because also remember, at the time, my parents didn't even know that I had a record out, or that I'd signed.
They didn't know that you had a record out. How does that even?
Because I was in school. You know, my last year of matric.
Mm-hmm.
So, they weren't interested. My mom just, you need to go to varsity. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't do school.
Yeah.
So I did all of that
under wraps,
and I even remember that the haircut, it was, first my hair was black and it was huge. I have like a huge afro.
Yeah.
And I just got my dad to cut it, just cut my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my haircut, and that's that.
Mm.
And then I went to a friend's place a couple of days later, and I colored my hair, and I came home and I had blonde hair.
It was just during like school.
And No, this is like towards end of the year.
If
I remember correctly. And they're like, okay. Blonde hair, like, yeah. And then that was all I had to deal with, the fact that I colored my hair blonde.
Yeah.
And then the following year, Boma Chen, Boma Feb, Ganjalo, the video drops. First the song drops, and then before the video drops, my mom calls me. She's like, he's a radio, and Batsi Konumunta Kulin Dati Abuti. I'm like, nah, that's me.
Yeah,
that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
And then the video came out.
With the blonde, and
yeah.
And how was it received at home? Because I could imagine, It was huge then, okay? Yeah. Let me tell you, my mother didn't love it, okay? My sister and I were, like, insane. We were, like, we were dying over this girl with the short hair, and she's singing Abutiyo. And my mother was like,
Yay. That was my mom. And also remember, the background was that at that point, I had already been through my spiritual school things.
Uh-huh.
And I was known as this preaching child, Esontweni.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, who lay hands on people in Bapol, you know. And I was like, I was there with God, Christian, all of this. Mm. Boarding school and back. And so after school, I said, come on, what do you mean? Who's that?
Yeah.
Kanjani, you know. So more than just family, I had a lot of people disappointed in me. But I think as time went on, they got to understand that I had to flex my talent muscles, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be me. I had to go search for who I was, because also it's around the time when I released Abutiyo that I kind of had conversations with God about where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that behind the pulpit was not...
It was not it. It yeah. was not but you still wanted to be.
I wanted to
out
do the
there,
work.
Just not, yeah.
I still do the work to this day. Mm-hmm. I just did not want to be behind a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for many reasons. And so, I kind of charted this path unknowingly, you mm-hmm. know, in darkness. And it was hard at first, because getting into that quite a scene. Obviously,
it was rough.
And there was
Bushaka, and there were some big names, because you came out around the time when the names were huge.
Abontoko, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous, isn't she? Beautiful voice. So there was a lot. There was a lot of competition. It was very stiff, and I also remember, you know, Besitshela ukuthi ama kwaito artists can't speak English.
Yes, yeah.
And so I would twang amabomu nje, just to be like, look here, we don't all come from the same, you know,
place, same background, same
so
everything.
Do
yeah.
not, you know, sweep us with the same broom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here, and in fact, I want to make this my business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a career. I love to perform. I love to write songs. I love to be on stage. But I actually want to make this my business. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was also my dad's musical influence. Ukhayelisi was very strong on me. So mm-hmm. someone like Phyllis Hyman was huge. And in the way that she tackled her singing career,
mm-hmm.
she was a businesswoman first, you know, and all her bookings and all of this, at regular times she'd have management, but most of the time she was the one charting her own path,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't easy to do here,
mm-hmm.
because this industry still is very male dominated.
Yeah.
It's a boys club.
Yeah.
And so you got to be a certain kind of person to play with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to lose certain freedoms, do certain things to play with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't ever going to lose those precious parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what later led me to say, okay, cut. I'm not saying I'm quitting music forever, but I need to find me and center myself
and figure out who I am.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, 8 minutes after 7, you're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. My name is Sotomayor, standing in for Dr. Cindy, and the other voice you're listening to is Andile Khayelisiwe, and we're just having a chat to her about her music, her career. I know a lot of people, when they think Andile, we think Abutiyo, Khumbule Khaya, you know, like there's like a list. If you ask people who Andile Khayelisiwe is, Abutiyo, Khumbule Khaya, in that order, because I mean that's sort of like how it came. You know what I mean? But if you would like to have a chat to her, if you want to ask her some questions, you know, you have something that's been burning you that you've always wanted to find out about her, the number to dial is 086-000-0959. That is 086-000-0959 if you would like to have a chat to Andile Khayelisiwe, and if you've got questions that you would like to ask her. So you're talking about music.
Wait,
so
Cindy's missing out. She's at home with two pricks.
Yeah, and shame. And she's sick.
And she's like, we're so cute.
Yeah, and she's sick, which is sad. You
get better,
like,
queen.
Yeah. So music. Okay. Yeah. So you decided to pause the music.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now, I feel like, and maybe I could be wrong, but the timeline for me, it feels like after Abutiyo mm-hmm. came Khumbule Khaya, or was there something in between? So for me, in my head, it was Abutiyo.
Yeah.
It was a hit. You were a musician, and that was that. And then
I had two more albums, I think.
After that.
Yeah. And then after that, so then it's the music period.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, I then get invited to do MTV Base Uncensored.
Yes, yes, yeah.
With Sizwe.
Yeah.
And that's now my first
television gig. Yeah, yeah. Right? Now you're on TV. Yeah.
And I'm on TV now, and it's like, woohoo! Yeah, we can do this. And Sizwe was the presenter. I was the supposed sexual health expert. Oh, God. And you should have seen my files. So thick. But I was there, and yeah. I was dishing whatever info I had to. And I would watch with Sizwe doing his links and be like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
You know? And then while doing that, well, because, girl, Andilu, Andilebo, Andile is always true to Andile. When something stops serving you or stops being true,
mm-hmm.
I just walk away. Mm-hmm. So I walked away in the middle of the season. There were issues.
Just like that.
There were. Also, the thing is, the show was very, it was a lot of international donors
mm-hmm.
that were pushing a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm African.
Mm.
I can't be bought to say, oh, you know.
Yeah.
There were just a lot of things that were not adding up. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking to young people across the continent.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things that I was expected to be saying as a sexual health expert
didn't make sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So we would try and fix those things, but I just thought, okay. Out. So I left, and in the middle of that, I think the following week, because we were doing that show Urban Brew, I get a phone call to say I should come and audition. I'm like, me audition?
Uh-huh.
I don't do those
things. Do you know who I am?
I don't audition.
Auditions come to me.
So listen to me. I had written in my Bible, I think I must have been 16, I'm the best talk show host to come out of South Africa.
Yeah.
And I still have that Bible somewhere.
Yeah.
But those words are there.
Uh-huh. And many first tweets.
Right?
Mm.
And to go along with that, I would always watch television and be like, okay, first of all, I didn't like, what's it, the autocue?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because to me, it just felt like, I wish I had bang. Why are you reading?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You should say these things should come
naturally.
Know,
yeah.
And it should mm-hmm. be natural. So I'd always promise myself that I would never audition and speak somebody's words mm-hmm. on television.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and mind you, I didn't know nothing about television at the time. But mm-hmm. this is me, an outsider, looking in and saying, if I get that kind of opportunity,
this is not how I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, they're like, come and audition. I'm like, okay. Yo, all right, it's a new show, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, I go and the audition. I don't know where the tape is. Somebody must throw that thing away.
Was it that bad?
It was terrible.
Oh, my. My first audition was also the worst, so I hear you.
It was terrible. Yeah. Now, at that point, Satwang again.
Yeah.
But
your Zulu is so
deep. Give coconut fela. I could not string together two sentences without English in the mix.
Mm.
And then they end up saying, okay, kuluma njongozola seven. Okay. So I did all of that, whatever.
Yeah.
And a week later, they called me, oh, you have the job. So excited. Oh, mm-hmm. I have a job. Then they called back, no, sorry, you don't have the job.
Oh.
What? Why? No, SABC has decided to go with someone else. Okay, cool. We'll see, you know, mm-hmm. catch the next one.
Yeah.
Following week, oh, no, you really have the job.
Okay.
Like, wow, guys. Okay, make up your mind.
Yeah. Really. Do I have the job or do I not have the job?
Know?
Yeah.
They're like, promise, it's the last time you have the job. And then I got called in, contracts, what. And after that, first thing I did, go to a bookshop.
What show was this?
The
big one. Because, I mean, Kumbule Kaya, my goodness. I mean, that show, we were just talking about it. It is a huge show. And it's the kind of show that I think it started silently and then it gained traction. And then, you know, and I feel like it's a show that you leave, you come back, you leave, you come back, you go away 2 years, you forget what slot it was. And then you bump into it. Ah, this show is back. And it becomes your show again.
So if somebody says, give them something about, let's say, South Africa.
Kumbule Kaya.
Yeah.
So you got the show.
So I got the show. I got the book. Ngoloban. Started reading.
Yeah.
Started reading, brushing up on my Zulu. And then was doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in a scriptwriter. And scriptwriter is like proper Zulu man.
Yeah, because you sounded very Zulu.
Yeah. And we would fight Nomsizi, which was beautiful because why are we fighting? IsiZulu in Newcastle, it sounded different than IsiZulu in Nqutu.
The nuances.
Than IsiZulu in Soweto.
Yeah.
Than IsiZulu, you know? Matukuza, all those things. So we needed to find middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm such a respecter and a lover of languages that I made it my duty to make sure Guti, whatever he writes, because he'll write the gist of it, whatever, based on a theme, it comes to me. I have to live with the script and translate. He writes it in Zulu, by the way, and English.
Yeah.
And then I have to live with the script and translate it to the way that I speak
so
that you understand.
Yeah.
Because if we spoke like Msizi did,
not a lot of people would watch as well, because some of us are sort of speaking, but
you
still understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and we've been working together like that. It's been amazing. And the most powerful thing, though, about Msizi is a lot of the things that he writes about me.
Wow.
So I'd be going through something in my life, and then I get a script, and I read the script, and I start chunking, because what he wrote there is exactly what
I'm going through in this moment.
Gifted in that way.
Wow, that is amazing. It is 16 minutes after 7. Remember to give us a call on 086-000-959 if you would like to have a chat to Andile, whatever it is that you want to ask her, if you want to talk about Kumbule Khaya, if you want to talk about her current show now, whatever it is that you'd like to have a chat to her about, the number to dial is 086-000-959. So, I mean, chatting about Kumbula, I mean, Kumbula Khaya was obviously a huge show. I still have like a favorite episode of Kumbula Khaya, and Rosalie. That episode was the episode to end all episodes. That was one of my favorite episodes. But there's been so many. There's been some that were just heart-wrenching, where, you know, we all walk away and you're just sad and everybody just wants to go to bed after that episode. There were some episodes that were a little bit funnier than others. You know, the episodes were so varied. I, for me, at least, it didn't feel like you were watching the same thing over and over again, where we were going to cry without fail.
It was very important.
Yeah.
We actually, it's deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
So the first story is always light.
Yeah.
The last story will be hectic.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you'll do it that
the other way around.
But you have to balance the light and the shade. Mm-hmm. Because we're not trying, you know, to get you crying the whole 48 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a deliberate thing, because there was a time where our stories were so potent that it was just that. And then also, you know, when you say that you watch Kumbula Khaya rise, sometimes it started out slowly. I remember those times when we'd put a story, it's a powerful story, but there's no drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that's very silent, and it's so well told that it needs you to sit down, listen, and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that story, you're like, yo. And so people would bafuna yabona la go badli no le kai
we want Rosalia exactly
next year we want that whereas it's not, storytelling is very temperamental.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that one. I don't know what that word is, what I'm
the frequency must change. Yeah.
It has to, you know, keep going up and down. And so that formula works, because you can watch a story and laugh about it or feel a bit of something, and then watch the next story and really go deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for Kumbula Khaya, because everybody, also remember, akusi drama impilo zabantu. So everybody's life story means something.
Before we get into conversation about Uthando Noxolo, we're going to take a short break, but I just want to know, from somebody that was watching you from the outside, it just felt like with Kumbula Khaya, it opened up another layer of Andile that many people might not have known. Because remember, you started out as blonde, short miniskirt, awana, sexy mama, the girl that we all wanted to be. Do you know what I mean? You did MTV Base. And then suddenly, you were like this mature, spiritual person, the person to turn to in dark times. Like, what's going on here?
360.
Yeah, 360. Yeah. I mean, this person was sexy. Next thing, you know, she's talking heavy things. She's talking...
It's all been training, baby.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just wonder if, like, for you, obviously, as people grow, we become different people. We are younger, and you grow and you become different. Did you also feel a transition within yourself once you started going through that Kumbula? Or was there, like, a moment in your life where you started becoming... more of that person? You know, for me, you come across as the person to look to in shows where, not psychology, but you know, the shows that need
Yeah. Yeah, safe hands, man. Safe hands. Yeah.
Do you know, I remember performing a festival in. I don't know if it was in Britilli Park or wherever it was.
Yeah.
And the lineup was so huge. The likes of Jabu Kanyile, Brenda Fassie, name them, right? And I was in that group with the Kwaito people, the Kwaito kids, we knew. So obviously, my festival, the Kwaito and
is the openers.
Yeah. Are the openers. Mm. And I remember opening, performing, being beautifully received and doing it with my girls and then getting off stage and then now sitting back and watching everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was performing, when I was on that stage, it was a lot more young people grooving to my beats, you know. And then like a Judith or a Brenda or a Jabu Kanyile get on stage, ugogo pete utondolo, you know, umkhulu, everybody
is losing it
yeah. over there. And I was like, one day I'm gonna be that person.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna speak to a young person as well as a 99-year-old person,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like I was caged somewhat,
mm-hmm.
and I saw myself bigger than that. But the genre of music that I chosen was that. It was, you know, for that younger audience.
Yeah.
It's like even starting my foundation, Open Disclosure. When I started, I was at YFM. And so the majority of the people that I served
were young people.
Mm. But as I grew, the foundation grew, you know. And to a point that there was a space where I was so hard hit by seeing babies, primary school, talking about being sodomized and gruesome rapes,
mm-hmm.
that it hit so hard that I quit. I went to my board. I was like, we are changing the whole focus.
Mm-hmm.
I am not doing children anymore. If I'm going to do children, I won't be effective.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally killing me to hear and see this. There's people like Teddy Bear, you know, in other organizations, where I can lend a hand, I will do so. But I feel like I'm useless because seeing babies go through that kind of pain just breaks you.
Mm.
So I feel like I saw that transition. And with Khumbule Khaya, I'm more cushioned. I'm in studio. You know, I have a set group of people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, it's not predictable, but everything is constant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you also know how I sound.
Or exactly, yeah.
My friend who passed away, may soul rest in peace, Uchezil, would make so many jokes about how I sound and what I say on Khumbule Khaya.
Yeah. We can almost,
you know, because the thing about Khumbule Khaya is, you know, that even number one in this country watches that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to witness God. And when you hear uti isilo sibukela Khumbule Khaya, you can't be out here messing up languages.
Is not that the king, Anne?
And not just isiZulu. So, I mean, my team would throw all these hurdles. They'd give me a vendor letter.
Oh my!
Like, yeah, ne. Okay.
Yeah.
Mara mina ngiphume Soweto.
Yeah.
So just khuluma yonkinto.
Yeah.
So I'll get a vendor person or a Shangaan Tsonga person. Tell me the V's and the H. What does that mean? Oh, mm-hmm. sounds like a B. Okay, cool. And then whatever else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll read that thing to the best of my ability and try and represent that language
that's as best as you can. Yeah,
that is very important to me because that's respecting that cultural group of people. So I also watched myself Mangisuka ku Khumbule Khaya and got to Thando Noxolo. I'd been longing for that. Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And Thando Noxolo, I think, is the beginning of me doing that. That and Before I Do. I also did a talk show on SABC 2 on Sundays. It was called Encounters for a season. So my wings and my purpose as a healer, like, remember we talked about the pulpit?
Yeah.
I felt that I was going to die there behind the pulpit. And I chose this microphone and I chose a camera. That's my Bible. That's my song. And that's how then I come alive.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Thando Noxolo. We're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Thando Noxolo. Remember, the number to dial is 086-000-00959.
Sidebar with Dr. Cindy on Kaya FM 95.9.
It is 25 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Francail. My name is Sotomayor, standing in for the good doctor, who will be back as soon as she's feeling much better. And today we are talking to Angela Khailisiu, and we're talking about basically who she is as a person. We're talking about her music, we're talking about her career, basically just a profile on who Angela is. And you're more than welcome to join in on the conversation. I've seen on Twitter, Dr. Cindy sent me all the questions and like stuff that people want to know, and I feel like an hour is just not enough, because people have got all sorts of questions about who Anjali is. But you can give us a call on 086-000-959. So Anjali, now we're talking about Uthando Noxolo,
yeah,
and how that was almost carte blanche to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
How did that come about, Uthando Noxolo?
So I get a phone call. It was October of maybe 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being asked to come and stand in an episode. Remember, Troop Troop was doing that.
Yeah.
So I go and I stand in. And what do you know? Obviously, they'll give me, well, not obviously, but it felt like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they give you the weak ones.
They give me a rape episode.
Ah.
So I'm like, oh, wow, okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, so what is this show, by the way? What happens here on this show?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, there's a tape. So I watch. I'm like, okay, cool. I will do this the way, you know,
Is that the episode with the mom and there was a church? It's not that one. And the daughter was seeing the pastor or...
No.
Not that, because that was a hectic episode. That was just... Yes, so not that one.
And she got paid.
Yes, so not that one. Okay.
That was
a hectic episode.
It was too hectic.
Mm.
Anyway, no, it was not that. Mm. This one is a girl who had been raped by her father's brother. He's supposedly a brother, but Masisi diga deep ngathi he's a son.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Understanding. And that person who raped her lives literally next door.
Oh my goodness.
And so she doesn't go back home because the guy is there and she's afraid and so on. So literally it was her wanting to tell her dad and then wanting to face the guy.
Okay.
And wow, I got the first taste of Uthando Noxolo when a person abathi yabona lo ukhokho vuke wenyanga. Hola.
Yeah.
You don't come out. I'm like, look here, I'm only scared of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we go there, we meet this guy, and then this guy...
Is this the dad?
Well, first we meet the dad. The dad starts crying and saying, don't go there, he'll kill you.
Also, the perpetrator,
So the dad says, no, you guys don't know how we live here. In fact, when you leave, any one of us here might die. This guy is lethal that way.
Yeah.
And Jay, he's going to kill you guys.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, ah, no, don't worry. We're good.
We're good. Yeah.
He's like, hey,
don't go
there. Hey, what? Me, I'm like, look here, we need to do this for this girl. Because this girl, this is the thing about sexual violence. You don't deal with it. You don't go get therapy, counseling. You don't face the perpetrator. It's a spirit. It's an energy. It sits with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it seeks to taint everything around you. Because mm-hmm. it's really about the soul.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about the person climaxing. Mm. You know, they penetrate the body, sure. And they some of them do climax. But it's not about that. It's about the power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, ukungcolisa. At a soul level.
Yeah.
So if you are that injured and you don't take whatever steps to deal with that,
mm-hmm.
your life
will never,
you know.
Yeah.
So we go there and then the guy starts umming and ahhing because I'm looking him in the eye. And I'm like, look here, on this date, this is what you did. He made jam. She remembers that day he was making jam, the day that he raped her, in the kitchen. Because he used to love to make jam. And that's how I know how to believe a rape victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been there myself. You remember even the
detail.
The smell. What that room smelled like, what he smelled like, the feelings, the if there were ants in that room,
you
whatever
remember
it was,
them.
Things that, you know, are negligible to other people.
Mm.
But because you are... I don't have the words. Because
the hypersensitivity in the moment.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Hypersensitivity. You'll remember all of that. So this girl was that detailed. And so when I'm putting these questions to him, I see what this man did it. But now he's going to try, you know. They never say, yes, I did it. And so my questions got this man so riled up, he did chase us out and threaten. And then while we outside the gate, he follows us and he's like, what am I doing? Oh, fail! Because he's fitting your back. And then he's got a pen, paper.
He's taking...
He wants the number plates because he's going to do some stuff, you know. So I think I'll switch back to Kumble Kaya. One of the reasons Kumble Kaya is as powerful as it is, Urban Brew as a caretakers have realized that you cannot mess with the fabric that makes that show what it is, right? When I say the fabric, I'm talking about from the DOP in the streets to the editor to the presenter to the runner to everybody. There's a spiritual thing that happens with people that work for Kumble Kaya. And many of them, okay, at this moment, I'm the only remaining original member.
Original, okay.
Right? Even from management. But people who've worked for Kumble Kaya have been there for years. Because there's a thing about that rapport that makes the story stangane the way stangane ngakhona. So when I get onto Thando Noxolo, at that point I'm just guest. So I do the episode, brilliant, people love it, people are seeing it, seeing me for the first, it's almost like a come out, coming out for the first time, because now people are seeing me engage, and it's not very soft, too, you know. So when I then get called the following year, that January, to then come, you know, take the show and do the show, I quickly realize one of the most important things here, this is unlike Kumbu, I don't have to meet whoever did what to whoever. Here, we are literally, it's matters of life and death. You deal with demons every day. On any regular day, you'll get to someone's house and spiritually you'll see through them and you're like, oh my God, oh, we are here, you know. And you can't play in that situation. And your whole team,
and there must be the sensitivity as well with how you handle it.
Yes, because Uthando Noxolo is about somebody going to make amends. And so someone might say, no, angifuni, or there might be a fight. So, I mean, so many things have happened. And it's important that the team is of...
In the same space. Okay, so we've got a call for you, Andile. There is a Floyd giving us a call. Floyd, good evening, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening. How are you?
We're good, thanks, and you, Floyd?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to say hello to my former schoolmate. You know, my former, we were the YCS together, where she was a chairperson and I was the treasurer there.
Wow. Yeah.
Is this taking you back?
Wow! Fly, damn!
She can sweet and sing, eh? Oh!
Wow, Fly.
Yeah.
It's so good to hear from you after all these years.
Yeah, true, eh?
South Africa don't know that I was an activist. Well, I still am.
Yeah.
So, YCS is Young Christian Students.
Yeah.
So we were alive around the time of about, you know, Kosas and
spreading the word and sure. Floyd, thank you very much for joining us. I'm sure it must be very interesting to watch somebody that you came up with now be this, you know, this
indeed.
This personality, yeah.
Good evening.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that call, Floyd.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That was a very sweet call. We were talking about Thando Noxolo. And you were talking about, and you touched a little bit on the rape as well, you know. And one has to wonder, at least for me personally, because you have been through the same thing.
Yeah.
Or at least similar, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that not make it very difficult? Because I would think that you wouldn't want those episodes. Those would be the episodes that you are like, I guys.
So, there was a time where I deliberately stopped doing interviews on my story, sexual violence. You ask them, Maning, true love. And I was like, no.
No.
Because for me, it was never a crutch. It's something I went through. And I was continuously dealing with it. And the fact that I started my foundation, I had other people that needed me, which meant that I needed to heal. in order to help them get, you know, their own healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I then became this poster child.
For rape. Yes.
Which...
And survival. Yes.
I mean, it served its purpose because I always come from an authentic space.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say talking is therapy, therapy is healing,
mm-hmm.
it's because I mean that. And when I was sharing my story, it was because the catalyst to that whole experience was somebody who herself was going through rape and was trying to kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she called on the radio station, and that's what led to me now wanting to come out and, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I felt like it was now, whether it's the BBC or CNN or it's whoever it is, news agencies, mm-hmm. when there's a stat about rape in South Africa,
Andy.
Call Andy,
yeah.
You know. Mm. And I was like, no, this is not, I'm famous already.
Mm.
Like, I don't need
that's
that.
That's not my claim to fame.
Yeah. Mm. I'd rather be out here with a girl trying to help her
mm-hmm.
as opposed to doing this interview, that interview. And the box that you're putting me in is not entirely me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of me. I'm a whole human,
mm-hmm.
you know, and extras.
Mm.
And so I cut that out. And even to when you want to strap me, sexual violence survivor, no. I do so many things.
You've got lots of things that you can put there.
Yeah. Don't strap me as that. And it has nothing to do with the shame of it. It has everything to do with the fact that I work for this cause every single day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how I get my healing. So to answer your question, there were times where I was like, okay, I don't also want to be typecast with everything that I do is now sexual violence related.
Survival.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's why that show on Zanti Magic, Before I Do, my favorite show. Mm. My favorite show to host, to be a part of, because that spoke about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often asked people, where do you think the biggest lessons in Piloga Andy have come from? And same answer, rape. And I'm like, nah, it's not it. Yes, I've had big lessons come from there,
mm-hmm.
but my biggest lessons have come from love.
Uh-huh. Because you were married.
Yeah.
You were married. There was a time, and that union, okay, when it hit the tabloids, what an unlikely match. In my head, I was like, how?
So to why unje?
Because I thought,
he was a handsome guy.
He was a handsome guy, yes, but... Listen, when I have a blind sight, I would have never.
But love is blind.
Of all the people that I would have ticked in the industry, I would have never thought.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, this is.
But that's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we're talking about love.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't like this notion of guti abantu mele bafane lani.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
true.
What is that? The fact that aesthetically we look like a match.
Are we
really a match?
Yeah, you know.
So that relationship, though, I can safely tell you was very comic. It was a comic relationship in that I believe that in a previous life we were together. In fact, somebody confirmed this for me. That there was something I did, apparently, in a previous life as a couple.
Yeah.
And in this life, I was there to fix that.
To rectify whatever it is that you did. Yeah.
We are so similar to a T in terms of experiences, trauma, all of this, right?
Yeah.
And it was... this is the thing. We all need to ask ourselves what the space that you're in, the relationship, the person you wake up with every day, what purpose does that serve?
Mm-hmm.
The two of you coming together, what is that about? What's it for?
Mm. Mm.
If it's sex, gumnand sharp, penelap sharp, and know that and accept that that's what that is.
And that's all that we are, and it's okay,
right?
And it's good, yeah.
But if there's something more,
yeah,
nurture that. Find what that is and nurture that.
Mm-hmm.
So that space was a healing space.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pay my karmic debt, which I did.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I was so pedantic in the end about how this divorce came out.
Yeah.
I did not want... I remember when I said to him, okay, I think we've come to the
end of the road.
It was January. And I said... the last thing I want is for us to both leave this house unhappy, sad, crying, what.
Mm-hmm.
We've shared two beautiful years. And so I'm going to stay here. I hope that you do too.
Mm-hmm.
And we both heal. And towards the end of the year,
we can.
You go your way, I go my way.
What a mature thing. Right? My word, yeah.
And he was like, what? He didn't get it. And he didn't know how it was going to work. But because, you know, you'll do anything to try and save your marriage.
Yeah.
And I think somehow saying that also was me trying to save it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we stayed.
For that year.
I think Ngapuma Lapena. My previous house I bought, I moved into in November of 2007. And that was January of 2007 when I said that. So that November, when I left, I had no more tears because I'd shed all the tears.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was ready.
And was he also ready? Or was it like a struggle?
It was still a struggle.
Yeah.
But what I was happy about is that we were both not curling up and dying.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't curling up and dying. He was okay. He was not super. He was not excellent. But mm-hmm. he was coping.
Yeah.
I also wasn't. I mean, the day that the truck took everything and I went inside.
Did he move out or you moved out?
I moved out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought my house. Mm-hmm. And when I went inside to look, yo, I was like, yes, yes. And this man is coming back to, yo, okay. That made me cry. I remember mm-hmm. standing in the middle of this empty dining room and just bawling my eyes out. I was like, mm-hmm. okay. But then I was like, okay, I'm starting a new life. I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left. And so I'm glad because that relationship grew me.
Mm-hmm.
It served its purpose. I healed. In time, he healed. I think a year or so later, I tried to come back. Parents, family, whatever.
They tried to put it back together. You know how the elders are. Yeah.
Dude. Mm. Yeah, and I had to go with it, went with it, try it again. Because I
but why did you though? Why did you go ahead? Yeah. Because you don't strike me as the kind of person that would, do you know what I mean? That would be easily, not easily coerced, but why did you go back? Why did you go back? Well, I mean, I understand the elders came, they talked to you. We want to know.
No, I went back for the simple reason that you don't get do-overs mm-hmm. on things like that in life.
Mm.
So he was certain that I was his everything.
Okay.
There was a time that I was certain that he was my everything. But when or once I got to understand what the purpose of that relationship was and made peace with that, I understood that he wasn't the guy I was going to grow old with, mm-hmm. right? But when his parents flew to Joburg, my parents got together. Kwakhulunywa, but basathandana bona. Lo yangithanda. Uyinkinga. You know? I was like, ah, damn. And then I had to do it because my mom was not going to forgive me, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
for 2 years, we didn't talk after. So I didn't go home and say, guys, we're thinking of getting divorced. I made a phone call. I was like, Mpume Maloyen, you're divorced. Yeah, bye-bye. I put the phone down, you know. Because it was that thing, Yoguti, and I'm burning.
It's pinching my toes.
Can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've given it my everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing it again, good. I'll do it again just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that my initial decision was that. And at the end of that year, again, when we tried again, it was clear our time together was up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like to be enemies with people that I loved.
Mm.
And so I tried again to.
Is this the third time?
Second Pelamanje.
Oh, I was about to say yo.
No.
Three times.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
When we break up now, the second time, I try again to make sure that it's amicable.
Yeah.
We can still see each other. Funniest thing, I think about a year ago at China Mall somewhere, Dragon Seat.
Yes.
I'm walking in, and you know when people recognize you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, farmer's eyes, and you made that girl. So I'm, as I try to walk past. This guy walks past me and he's like, oh no. So I look. I'm like, oh my God, it's you. So we see each other.
Yeah.
We see each other. Eh? But when we see each other, we're like happy to see each other. We hug. So corner of my eye, I see people around us.
Yeah. Oh my.
Who know us.
Yeah.
Awesome. oh my god, let's just like, ah, bang, I'm going to I didn't know Udo. You know, I burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they are fans seeing us see each other for the first time in whatever, however long.
And you hadn't seen each other since the second breakup at all.
Yeah, I mean, now and again he'd come to my mom's house because him and my mom were pretty cool.
Yeah,
he'd come to my mom's house. In fact, he was the last time I saw him was when my dad died in January last year.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the funeral. A most amazing gentleman.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that because I read a piece that you wrote about your dad, and that's made me sad.
Oh, my hero.
It made me very sad. When you wrote like a sort of like an ode.
Yeah.
To your dad was just, first of all, you're very good with words. But
that's what my publisher keeps saying, and I'm like,
it was just, it was really very sad. But we'll come back, we'll come to that. We'll talk about the loss because you call him your MacGyver,
yes.
So we'll come back and talk about MacGyver.
Awesome.
So we'll talk about MacGyver in a moment. Remember, you can still give us a call on 086-000-00959. If you're just joining us, it is almost 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. Still coming up on the home of the Afropolitan is the Law Report with Michael Mutuning Bill. Oh, Michael, I don't remember. How do you say it again? Michael Bill Mutuning. Did I say it perfectly? Because I remember I was like, Konjo, what is it? Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
2.5 million. That's like a huge number if you consider the stats, right? That's like that's like adults. Doesn't include children. So 54 million, 60 million. It's like a big number of us. And that's what we're talking about. And of course, these has legal implications in terms of the homes that you share, children that are born in those circumstances, wills, what happens to the assets, what happens when you die. That's what we're talking about in the Law Report.
Okay, so that conversation is coming up in the next 10 minutes right here on Kai FM 95.9. So, Andile, you don't have an issue with Fat and Set because...
Bad.
Hey?
Are we hitting a spot there?
No, she's a marrying kind, okay?
I am the marrying kind.
She's a marrying
kind. And baby gonna marry me soon.
Are you seriously? Are you considering?
Oh, I would marry again. I'm definitely. I love the institution of marriage, but the thing is about it, find your friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the settling type.
Yeah.
No.
You want to have fun with someone.
It must be that. Yeah. You must be that guy.
Yeah. So if you met someone and you got married, and you met someone and they wanted to get married, you are all for that.
We are going down the aisle.
And the children and the what? Oh no,
the
not
whole
that
thing.
Oh, the everything.
Whole thing. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, that would be very.
You can do it all. We can have it all. And I mean, I know life right now is trying to tell us, let's fat and set and, you know, be these power women that make all this money and so on. I'm all for that. And this too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having your cake and eating
I'm not shortchanging myself. I love love. I love being loved. I love loving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you with someone right now? Okay, now I know I'm sounding like a tabloid.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening, isn't he?
I hope so.
And he knows
working.
That
I wonder
that you are the marrying kind, okay?
He knows this. He must know this.
And no fat and set. And you'd want to have kids as well.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. I'd love to have children. I'd love to have babies. I think for the longest time, the whole thing with babies for me, I had two miscarriages in my marriage. But also because... Leonge understand, and me and him had conversations about that. But in general, the whole thing with rape is too much, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a woman and for someone, I would call myself a frontline worker in that you're there listening to all these stories every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to deal with yourself and accept that not all men are rapists, right? So, for instance, a MacGyver, my dad, he's the biggest... reason why I love men. I don't see every male figure as a possible threat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Why is he MacGyver? I'm cutting you off because we are running out of time.
Anything.
Why was he MacGyver? I mean, when I read and I was like, oh my god, like this guy must have been like the dad to end all dads.
He could fix everything.
He was your stepdad, right?
He made curtains. He would sew a curtain and put it up. He built the home. Our house. In Malberton, he built it
with his own two hands.
I moved out of my previous house now in December, and I remember in my bedroom he was painting, and he left two fingerprints. And I think he was trying to hold on. And so the two prints left there. So when I went to go say bye to my house and I saw those prints in my bedroom, that killed me.
Yeah.
Because that house was his house. And he fixed everything. My dad was a guy, you'd be stuck in Pietermaritzburg or wherever it is. And if he can get there to come fetch you, he will get there.
Mm-hmm. Or he'll send someone. But otherwise, you're coming back.
Yeah, my dad was that guy. My dad will tell you if the person you're with is not right for you. He once said that about a guy. He's gone, this person.
Forget about this person.
This is a nothing person. I'm like, I'm a ba. But cute. That's my dad. And the way that my dad loved my mom, they love for each other. I think that's why I'll never stop loving and searching for the correct love for me. Because I think that we settle. Somebody makes you pregnant and then you're like, okay, now I must marry them. Or whatever it is. Or, you know, the sack is great. They put down the pipe and you're like, this is the one. There's so much. There's so much more. You know, you know, there's so, and I saw that between the two of them. To a point that it's a year and a month now in February. It was my dad's birthday on the 8th. Just now. My mom is still struggling. Today, she drove past my house and she called me and she's like, oh my God, I saw your house, your former house, and I thought about your dad. And then she starts crying. He's that guy that, you know, it's, and COVID tells us, shows us this. Appreciate people while you have them. Because I realized after my dad was gone that he was definitely one of the special ones. He was God's favorite person. That guy was, he was more than just a guy.
And I suppose that's probably the reason why you still believe in the institution of marriage, in love, in, you know, and all the fluff and all the pretty
and
things.
And treating people right. Treating people right. It amazes me that in the times that we live in, there's still people who plot somebody else's downfall. We're all trying to survive right now. So, you know, we should all be collecting karma points at this point.
Do you know what? I just remembered, because this conversation was very nice, that there were actually a few questions that people wanted to ask you. So I'm going to just read the one question.
Okay.
Somebody wanted to know. And I remembered now when you laughed. And the person said, why do you laugh so loud? First of all, I think that's a weird question. Because that's how I laugh. But she says, why do you laugh so loudly? Like, why? Why?
Well, I mean, I think she's used, she knows people who laugh loudly.
Yeah.
But I think she's asking me because was Andy was a kumble kaya,
who is nice and
who is kotegile and you know.
Yeah.
And because this is me. I laugh like that. I mean, and also if you're telling me something that I'm like, what? Come on, now get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, so I will laugh at you. And that's the thing about the Tanda Nukol. You meet some amazing people. You meet some not so amazing people. So you go with those emotions, you know. Because ultimately, we all want to heal, don't we?
Yeah, that's true. And somebody else wants to know, and I'm trying to squeeze everything in, whether a show like Khumbula Khaya affects you, like emotionally, mentally. Do you know what I mean? Do you get affected? Do you go home and
I do get affected. Khumbula Khaya, not so much anymore, because the stories that we are getting are more joyous stories. You know, people do find their loved ones, and there's usually a beautiful resolution. On Tanda Nokolo, though, that's a whole nother animal. When I do that show, I literally, if I'm not filming, I sleep. Because every place I get to, I always put energy. I always, you know, put love and energy and positivity and peace. I work on those things. I cultivate those things. I meditate. I'm a transcendental meditator. I meditate. But when you walk into someone's house who's not okay, they'll suck that energy from you. So I'm always spent after I
do Tanda Nokolo.
And that's why every night that I record an episode, my recharge is a bath full of water and soft water, you know, that I've made soft and with all the things I like in the bath, and then I recharge and then I can go again tomorrow. But when I do that show,
how often do you do that show?
So I'll film 2 episodes a week, which is 4 days, because one episode is 2 days. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Antje, thank you very much for joining us. I feel like, you know, I wish the conversation could carry on and on and on and on and on.
I know. I had a great time.
Yeah, I feel like it was too short.
It was.
Like, it should have been a much longer conversation. You needed like an hour and a half as well, because all the questions are coming in now. And I'm like, ah, sorry, guys. I had my own questions as well.
The time flies.
Exactly. And I was like, ah, I had my own questions. Sorry, guys. It is what it is. But thank you so much for joining us. And good luck with, I know there's a new season of Kumblikai.
There's a new season we're on. We're doing that. There's a lot. There's a book in the works. There's so much coming. There's a lot coming. Yeah. 2021. I'm here.
Yeah, it's the year, year of Andile.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope you guys have all enjoyed that conversation. I know many people are listening. I see on Twitter, just sitting tightly and asking the questions via Twitter. But thank you very much for joining us.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.